Recently, Xanana Guzman visited Australia and met with the Australian Prime Minister. During this visit, the question of Timorese guest workers was raised. Toonoo FM has been able to publish a series of interviews with Australians commenting on this issue, but now we have José Teixeira on the line to talk with us about the issue as the East Timorese see it. José, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what your position is in the Parliament of Timor de Leste?
Yes, good morning, Warwick, and thanks for having me on again. It's always a pleasure. I'm a member of Parliament. We don't have a traditional backbench or traditional opposition. The Parliament and the government are separate. But in the Parliament, I am on the Parliamentary Committee for Natural Resources, Agriculture, Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. And it's the Parliamentary Committee that oversees all of those areas by that name, including the vital petroleum resources. And within the party, I don't hold any executive positions in the Frelimo party. I'm just an ordinary rank and file member. However, I played a role of being the English language spokesperson. As you can imagine, the language play is quite different. Some journalists complain that, in fact, I'm the Australian language spokesperson and not the English language spokesperson, but that's for those who find me difficult to understand, I guess, with my broad Australian accent.
Okay, well, can you tell us a little bit about the background of this guest worker proposal? Because I believe it has been under discussion in Timor-Leste. It's been floating around for some time.
From the outset, let me say that we don't doubt, and we certainly don't challenge at all the sincerity and the good intentions of the current government, the de facto government, the ANP government, or the president, or anyone else involved in any of this. I think it's positive. Any program that sets out to provide good employment opportunities for Timorese workers, good training opportunities, these are all welcomed, supported by Frelimo, as I believe it's supported by many others. I think what we do need to be careful about is that we don't build unreal expectations in people. Now, this whole issue was first raised some, in fact, I can say now, some years ago, when the current president, Dr. Ramaphosa, was still foreign minister. In fact, he raised it once in my presence with former Australian Foreign Minister Alexander Downer, as you know, we were talking about the Timor Sea negotiations in Canberra. I think it was the 11th of August 2004, when Amanda Vanstone, as the former minister for the area, first began to raise it, and it was raised then. Now, I think one of the real problems is that we haven't had a good debate about this issue, as we fail to have a lot of good debates about these nationally important issues amongst either civil society or involving all of the parties, all the crossbenchers in the parliament. I think it's very important that people are kept abreast of all of this. Now, it seems from, and I heard the interview with Janelle Saffin, where she said that there are factors that need to be considered. It needs to be looked at from both sides, and I think she stressed the fact that the issue had been floated. The way this has been represented in the lead up to Prime Minister Guzmão's visit was more than just it being floated. It was like there was some certainty involved, and it did build up some unreal expectations. Now, again, we support any initiatives to work through these issues and to establish the ground rules and to get the agreements signed with Australia. However, it involves more than, I believe, just floating things. I think Ms. Saffin, MP, the MP for, I believe, up in your area, Paige, was very correct in saying that these take a lot of issues that need to be worked through. I don't believe that that work has been done, and I think when I return, I think we will have the National Parliament become more proactive in ensuring that we don't have, again, expectations being built up and then have a disappointment come about the way it came during the Prime Minister's visit. I think everybody expected that it was a fait accompli, and it turned out not to be the case. We put that behind us. Let's move forward. And I think we need to all work together to put this in place. Because if these things go right, then everybody benefits. Timor-Leste, Australia, the industries that have a shortage of labour, and I'm in fact in North Queensland, and I can see there's a, you know, the banana farmers, and the other farmers, the tropical fruit farmers that I meet here, say there is a shortage of labour in Australia, and they find it difficult to get people to do these jobs. There is also, I believe, in Western Australia, a shortage in the tourism industry, particularly in Broome. I think these things can work out for everybody's benefit, but we need to do more than just float things. We need to work through them assiduously, carefully through the detail, so as that these things come about and are put in concrete form. That's the importance.
And can you sort of specify some of the things that need to be worked through? I know one of the things that we discussed with the other interviewees was like the mechanism by which the workers are brought to Australia and taken back to their country of origin. Now, I'd have thought that would all the protocols they've set up there for the South Pacific Islander workers could perhaps be applied to Timor-Leste, but there are probably other issues as well.
Yeah, I think the drivers are very important. Looking at who the drivers are, and certainly there are drivers in terms of the motivation to get workers from Timor here. But Timor is not the only source, and perhaps there are better sources. You know, English language is not the first language of most Timorese, and it won't be for quite some time. It's not just because of language policy, it's because of reality, where we are in Asia. We're not a Pacific Island nation, so we differ in that regard. But I believe that there are some efforts being made. Now, the driver, I think, should be, from the Timorese point of view, it should be to ensuring that everybody has a fair opportunity to gain access to this program to come here. So we're talking about a transparent recruiting process. Now, as I understand, traditionally, this has been left to companies that go and recruit. Now, from our end in Timor-Leste, we would be looking at some demands, some exigencies that these companies do this transparently. Because not everybody will be able to have access to these positions. And we want to make sure that, firstly, the best people, and that it's done on a merit-based and competitive basis, so as that everybody has an opportunity. Because if this doesn't occur, then we've seen the situation before with employment through the Timor Sea, where we've said to the companies, do it transparently. You have to advertise. You have to bring people in for recruitment transparently. We don't want any suggestions that somehow people are being favoured for one reason or another. And this is one of the biggest dangers I see in Timor, where so many people are looking for jobs. So I think there are models there that have been established. And I think leaving it up to the companies themselves to do it is not good enough. I think we need to regulate the situation a little bit more in Timor. And also, as you know, there have been some fairly notorious cases that have resulted with these type of recruitments by other companies in other countries. Yeah. I think I was reading of what is perhaps the most extreme one, which is the nightmare case of the defense contractors who go to Bangladesh and to Nepal and contract people who think that they are being employed in one country, and then all of a sudden they arrive in Baghdad. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but, you know, that sort of opens the door for you to see what sort of potential problems it can be. Misunderstandings about people coming over to do one type of employment for one set of conditions, and then coming over and finding that, in fact, you know, they're not going to have much money to send back to their relatives. Because at the end of the day, it's these remittances that come from these workers that are the important things. Now, I believe that this can all be worked through. I think we need to be very positive about it. But you see, in the Timor-Leste situation, we already have enough social problems. We already have enough social conflict. And there is a lot of it that is generated by what we call social jealousy. It is a very small country, and people feel suspicious if their rights are not being respected, if they're not given the same justice, the same access as others. And I think it's very important to us as a party that we establish that transparency. I think just leaving it up to the private sector to do it alone, that may result in a bad experience, because I don't think that Australia will allow more than, say, a thousand, a couple of thousand visas a year. And that does nothing in Timor-Leste. There are so many people there. Well, I don't mean it doesn't do nothing, but those that it helps, it's a lot. But it does very little in terms of making headway into the number of unemployed. So we need to be very careful, and we look forward to working with everybody concerned and taking initiative in our parliament to guide this, to make sure that it's a positive experience with positive outcomes for everybody concerned.
What is the domestic situation like there at the moment, Jose? I know Janelle made the point that one of the important outcomes of Xanana's visit was the fact that he was able to convince the Australian government that the situation in Timor-Leste was stable. Now, do you think Xanana's visit was, on the whole, a success?
Look, I'm not going to comment on that visit. I hope okay. it was a success. We want it to be a success. Whatever internal political debates we have, and they can be very robust, when a head of state or a head of government from our country goes overseas, Fretland wants it to be successful if it brings back benefits that are positive and that will contribute to the development of the whole of Timor-Leste. We believe that what he got in terms of more in terms of the development assistance budget is very, very positive. And when we get back, the parliament's been on a break, what we call our winter recess. And when we return, we will deal with these issues and see. But that's a matter for in-house. Whether or not it was a success, I think, we'll comment about that when we're back home. But we hope and we prayed that it was a successful visit. And that's not measured by the amount of press that you get. It's measured by the substance of the contact that you have between the Timor-Leste officials and the Australian officials. I've been around the traps long enough, and particularly around the Australian political traps, to know that the media is not going to report on any of that. So I hope that both the trip to New Zealand and Australia have been successful. And if they bring back more, that adds to the stability that is to Timor-Leste. Now that I would say, we should never become complacent. I mean, we are 6 years or 7 years post what was a 24-year period of conflict. Conflict takes a long time to get over. So I think whatever stability there is, we can never be complacent and say that it's all fine and dandy. It's not. It's fragile, and there are still many issues that haven't been dealt with. Security and defence sector reform is not moving as well as it should be moving, and I'm glad to see that there was provision in that from I believe an increase in that, and from our point of view as a nation and as an opposition that stands behind our officials when they go overseas, that was a good result.
Yeah. The question of the oil and gas refinery, Jose, I mean, that's right in your area. It does look as if the decision of where to locate the refinery is not going East Timor's way. The companies are making noises now that it'll almost certainly be in Darwin. Can you comment on that?
Well, I will comment on it. First, can I just make a clarification here?
Yeah.
I presume you're talking about the Greater Sunrise Field.
Okay.
Which is the subject of the most recent treaty agreement that was signed in 2006. That involves the construction of a pipeline and an LNG plant. There's no oil there, no real liquids.
Okay.
It's less than in Bayu-Undan. Whatever liquids will probably be processed on site, but it's mostly about the gas and the liquefaction of the gas for export primarily to Japan and probably Korea, wherever the market is. But we know that Timor Sea gas, LNG, is very much desired by the Japanese, and Osaka Gas are in there as 10% partners in the field, and they always take a stake because they want that, they're a good customer for any company, but they also want steady supply. Now, the mechanisms for decision making are in place, again, you know, as a responsible opposition, we are behind all effort to bring this LNG onshore in Timor-Leste. When I was the minister, when I was the vice minister, when I was the junior minister, that position was made very, very clear. In the treaty, a mechanism is in place for determining what is the most viable option. But the companies have to satisfy both the Timor-Leste government and the Australian government of the development plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my understanding is that still away from that, the company is, I think, not being fair by expressing options now. I think they should give their due and bring it to the commission that is being set up, the joint commission that's been set up to deal with this, and let that take its course. I don't think that it's fair at all to Timor-Leste and the people of Timor-Leste for the companies to say this is an option. I don't believe that the question is that clear-cut. I know enough of this issue. When we first started talking with Woodside, who were the operators and the principal joint venture partners, back in 2003, 2004, you know, the question was, you can't build a pipeline to Timor-Leste. We worked through all of those issues by consultation, dialogue, being transparent and expecting transparency in return from the companies involved to try and find out what the best option for the development of the field was. Now, I think we took that a long way, and I, at home, will be ensuring that we keep an eye on ensuring that the government keeps up a dialogue with the companies, transparent dialogue, and the confidence of these companies to convince them that Timor-Leste is still the best option. And we will be 100% behind the Timor-Leste government in ensuring that we find a solution to this, because it is in the best interest of Timor-Leste that we maximize the resources. And we've always said, and we continue to say, that pipeline coming to Timor-Leste will be a catalyst for further economic development.
Mm-hmm.
There are many issues to consider, and we're a long way away from a final decision or the companies being able to say that. There's social and environmental impact, but feasibly, the company can construct that pipeline to Timor-Leste. Again, we'll watch this space. I'm not certain that I have seen too many of these most recent reports that have been about, but I'll keep an eye on it. But let me assure you that our task is always to ensure that deal for Timor-Leste is the best one that we can get.
The Fretland seems to have done a lot in ensuring transparency, you know, in spite of a certain degree of frustration. Are you in a position to comment on some of the other areas where question of transparency was an issue?
Warwick, I'm now sitting in Australia. I have a rule that when I'm out of the country, I will, within reason, comment on the political situation. Let's just say that we have a big concern about issues of transparency in transparency in procurement, but also transparency in this area. Now, it's an issue that we will work through in the parliament together with the government. And again, I hasten to add that I think that we have to give them the benefit of the doubt that everybody's well-intentioned on this. From my chair in Timor-Leste, and be as frank and open about it as I can be, and our concerns. And we do have concerns. So perhaps we should leave it for another time when I'm in country rather than out of country. I think it's a bad policy to make comments when we're outside of the country.
Yeah, sure. Okay, and we'll look forward to that. I'm hearing from you in East Timor. Will you be happy to talk to Community Radio from East Timor now that we have the communications medium set up?
Absolutely, and I think that if we can work out a regular time in which we can both know that there's a window of, you know, half an hour to an hour, we can have a chat. Happy to get on and share my views with you on a regular basis on a number of issues.
Oh, that's terrific, Jose. So before we wind up, is there anything else you'd like to comment on or say?
Well, I think it's critically important that we start to notice that Timor-Leste, though a very, very poor country, our bitter experience, where we found comfort and solace through the solidarity of other countries and other peoples, and particularly peoples, because governments sometimes act differently from the people, is something that we will never forget. And we continue to get that solidarity from the people of Australia, whatever regime there is in place. And often it is a pleasure to see that governments and people are acting in concert. But I say that also to say that Timor-Leste also won't forget and that it will give back. You may have heard the news as a result of the president's visit, Timor-Leste president visit to Cuba, the Timor-Leste state has agreed to give $500,000 to help the cyclone-affected people, hurricane-affected people of Cuba. The Cubans, as you know, provide medical doctors, over 200 of them. They are training over 700 Timorese to be doctors, and we're always there to give us solidarity, just as Australian people were and just as many others were, the Portuguese people. And now we're in a position to begin to give something back, and I think this is something that makes me very proud to be Timorese, that despite our political differences in country, when it comes to showing the solidarity to those that showed solidarity to us, we will always do that.
Thank you very much, Jose, for giving this interview to Community Radio here in Australia.
My pleasure, Warwick. And I hope to one day get down to Nimbin. I used to hang around those parts a fair bit.
All right.
And particularly down in Mullumbimby. So I'm looking forward to it very much and catch up with some old friends there.
Yeah, well, you're certainly welcome here. Okay, thank you, Jose.
Thanks, Warwick. Have a good day.